This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome one and all in here, out there, all around the world on Ship to Shore Radio. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. We are, how many? It's how many weeks now? Five. We are 5 weeks into Russia's unlawful and brutal invasion of Ukraine, and Russia still cannot overcome Ukraine's fierce resistance. Also, Russia's basic incompetence. Their ground forces are, and I don't want to get too technical here, a bucket of hot doo-doo. And now, evidently, they're also running low on equipment, including basic things like camouflage, which is why they've resorted to using tree branches and straw to conceal tanks and other armored vehicles. Okay, so using forest camo, using found materials doesn't sound that bad. Can we see what that looks like? Where? Where did the trucks go? All I see is a beautiful manicured hedge. That looks like those trucks got a Groupon for hair plugs. Maybe they're not done. Is there any way they can make the camo more convincing? There you go. There it is. So. Cheap date.
In our art.
Thank you very much. So those trucks are got twigs on the top. Other Russian units have tried hiding their vehicles with festive garlands. Those tanks look like they were decorated by a divorced dad who forgot about Christmas. They ran out of trees, but they had these leftover branches. And hey, Santa got you a half a bottle of Hugo Boss cologne and an iPhone 6 charger. Now, Russian troops are also trying to camouflage their tanks with swaths of carpeting. Now, I'm no military expert, but I believe if you want to camouflage a tank, maybe disguise it as something that moves. There is nothing to see here. It's a normal pile of carpet slowly rumbling down the streets. Of course, if you need carpeting to hide your tank, you've got to call the experts at Russian Empire Carpeting, 800-588-2300, War Crimes Today. There's an update. National 2, 9,000. 1,000. There's an update from one of the first and most dramatic stories out of Ukraine. You'll remember, right at the start of the invasion, there was a Ukrainian military unit protecting a place called Snake Island. And the soldiers, a small group of them who were guarding the island, were told by a Russian warship that cruised up to surrender immediately. And this is how one of those soldiers answered. That was so ballsy. That was so courageous that it became a battle cry for all the Ukrainian people. And the Ukrainian government, and this is absolutely true, actually issued a commemorative stamp featuring that soldier flipping the national bird. What? Given what Russia's done to Ukraine, I hope that's a go yourself forever stamp. Best of all, never loses value. Best of all, it turns out those brave soldiers who originally thought were killed survived. And last week, they were freed in a prisoner swap. The Russians traded them for a minor league shortstop. And potato. Now, they're back home. Ukraine has awarded the potty-mouthed hero with a medal for his service. Yes, he has. Good for him. The least you can do. Yes. He has received the prestigious Purple Finger. Of course, the entire world is punishing Russian oligarchs with sanctions and seizures. And I'll catch you up in the latest installment of my J.D. Power & Associates award-winning series, Yacht Got Caught, Jackpot. On today's episode, a $49 million Russian superyacht has been detained by U.K. officials near London. Okay, that's good. One small thing. For a month now, we've been hearing stories about $120 million superyachts, $580 million superyachts, even $600 million superyachts. $49 million? That's a superyacht. That's at best a mega dinghy. At this point, you might as well christen it the SS Kirkland Signature Blend. That's a superyacht. A superyacht.
Barely qualifies.
A superyacht.
Barely qualifies.
Superyacht has another yacht inside of it. The ship was nabbed when it was in town for the Superyacht Award Ceremony. Of course, at the Superyacht Award Ceremony, categories include Best Boat, Biggest Best Boat Boy, Richest Best Big Strong Boat Man, and Smallest Penis. Won all of them. They all win. Everybody gets one of those. It's like a participation trophy. Oh, and hey, Russian oligarchs, here's a pro tip. If you don't want to see your big boat on Yacht Jackpot, you might want to limit your guest list because Russian oligarchs keep getting screwed over by yacht selfies, mostly taken by eager passengers like a stepdaughter, an ex-wife, or in one case, an escort. Oh, that is rough. Trapped by a thirst trap. You know what? They should just hide the location of the boat better. Have the Russian oligarchs considered covering their yachts with carpet and loose pine branches? Because you can't... What? You can't? You can't see me? You there? Let's see. Not everyone, of course, out there is standing up for Ukraine. Take former president, the notorious B-I-G-O-T. Yesterday, he had an interview on, and I thee not, the Just the News television show on the Real America's Voice Network, the right-wing news outlets that our former president has been reduced to appearing on sound like they were named with magnetic poetry. Okay, sir, your next interview is going to be with Eagle Freedom Truth Gun Muscle Jesus Gazette. quality people over there. Take those down. Anyway, during the interview, the former president called on Vladimir Putin to release dirt on Hunter Biden. Damn! He's asking for Russian help through the TV again? Does this man have no shame? And I withdraw the question. As usual, his timing is impeccable. He reminded the world that Putin is his buddy at the exact moment that everyone realizes that his buddy is actual Hitler. This is worse than last year when Jell-O re-signed Bill Cosby to announce their new flavor, Out on a Technicality Orange. Here's... I bet it's delicious.
It's probably not.
I bet it's delicious. It's not the Jell-O's fault. Here's the stupid... The former president alleges that the Bidens got $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife, but neither he nor anyone has any evidence. Instead, he simply told the host, I would think Putin would know the answer to that. I think he should release it. It's generally frowned upon for U.S. presidents, current or former, to solicit our murderous mortal enemies for dirt on their political rivals. I mean, ever since Reagan said this.
Mr. Gorbachev. Tear down Walter Mondale's kids.
I can't believe the Gipper did that.
It's history.
Can't believe it. Speaking of right-wing weirdos, there's some splashback to the story from North Carolina Congressman and haunted jack-in-the-box, Madison Cawthorn. Recently, Cawthorn made some extraordinary claims that his Republican colleagues in Congress are orgy frequenting degenerates with a fondness for hard drugs. Given the average age of the GOP, I assume they're snorting Boniva. Woo! my femur is harder than a diamond. I'll filibuster anything that moves. Cawthorne said it was these people, the cocaine orgy people, were people he looked up to. But so far, he hasn't named any names. However, on Monday, on this show, I floated this theory. The strangely folksy nature of sexual get-together means he must be talking about the famed Republican flesh pit, Chuck Grassley's ass jamboree. Now, as of this taping, Senator Grassley has not denied our allegation. That's right. That's right. Is that correct? Have we reached out? Have we reached around? No? Well, then I will ask him now. I will ask him now, officially. Senator, do you in fact hold an annual ass jamboree? Sir, at long last, do you back it up like a Tonka truck? The American people have the right to know. Because here's the thing, the GOP rank and file are now responding to Cawthorne's comments, and they are not happy. Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas said, it does paint the picture here that isn't accurate. Thank God, because that picture is too awful to be real. I've interviewed 80 members of Congress, and I'd have sex with 2.5 of them. Not at the same time, of course. I'm not in the GOP. One person who clearly wasn't invited to the big tent party was Louie Gohmert of Texas, who said, I haven't seen those parties, so I need to find out more about it before I comment, because that just seems rather bizarre. Okay. He doesn't know about this? That's got me doubting Cawthorne's story. Because you're telling me congressional orgies are happening and Louie Gohmert isn't a first-round draft pick? Come on. I hear the carpet matches the scalp. We got a great show for you tonight.
Up next, Cybergasm.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
Lois, two delightful young performers on the show tonight. Elle Fanning is going to be here on the show tonight. And from Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic himself, Ben Schwartz, is going to be here tonight. Now, I understand that John has been out so far this week because he's out there prepping for the Grammys. And Joe and Nega are out in Los Angeles. Are they also prepping for the Grammys? What are they doing?
I think they're in Vegas, and I think they're actually going to help John carry the awards. He's nominated for 11.
Oh, so that's right. So they're...
It's a load, you know. It's like Grammy caddies.
They're Grammy Sherpas. They're Grammy Sherpas to help them get all of it home. There you go. Well, I understand you have someone very special joining us tonight.
We do. My gosh, we have one of the most profoundly influential guitarists of our generation, my dear friend Isaiah Sharkey on the guitar.
Isaiah, thank you for being here. Good to see you. Folks. I love technology and robots, is what I keep saying on national television, so that when the machines rise up, they will spare me. And I'll tell you all about the latest gizmos and gadgetmajigs in my artificially intelligent segment. Cyborgasm. I have to say it. I have to say cyborgasm at some point. No, we'll talk later. First up on cyborgasm, scientists working on robots that can convey human emotions have created Nikola, a robot with a realistic face. Finally answering the question, what would Caillou's expression be right before he strangled you? The robot was designed by Rickon Guardian Robot Project, and it can successfully convey 6 basic emotions. So, more than Vin Diesel. Very similar. The emotions that Nicola can express are happiness, sadness, fear, anger, surprise, and disgust. Otherwise known as the full emotional cycle of eating at Papa John's. In space tech news, Chinese researchers have announced that a large robotic snake of unprecedented strength, flexibility, and lifespan has been built to explore space. Thank you, China. It takes a very special worldview to look at a snake and think, I wish that was bigger, stronger, and could never die. In describing the project, the Chinese scientist said that the robotic tentacle could crush a small satellite like a python strangles its prey, but that China does not plan to use it as a weapon. Really? That's a lot of detail about something you're not gonna do, China. That was like a realtor saying, this place has a great basement for shackling unsuspected homebuyers to a radiator, but I do not plan to do that. Anyway, why don't you head on down the stairs and take a look? The light switch is at the bottom. Next up on the Seagasm, guilt-ridden dog owners rejoice. Rocky is a new robot companion for your pooch when you're away. Rocky is a smartphone-controlled robot that allows you to interact with your pets from anywhere that is also a $250 treat dispenser. Take a look.
Just gotta push the 2 buttons on the side here, and the top comes off. And as you can see, there are 15 chambers for loading treats into.
And if you want to simulate the effect of what a dog is gonna do to that robot, simply roll a dog treat inside $250. Next up in the cyborgasm pit, get ready for the first remote control store on wheels, which will be so convenient for Floridians, now the Jamba Juice can get high and crash into you. The store... That is the laughter of recognition. The store on wheels is a robot that can sell a varied inventory. Chocolates, AirPods, knee socks. Perfect if you're shopping for 3 people, but only like 2 of them. And finally, White Castle is going to hire 100 robots to flip burgers. Okay, great. One quibble. How exactly does one hire a robot? Oh, this is an impressive resume. It says here, you're a machine built for the singular purpose of doing this one job. I'm sorry, we're looking for someone with a bachelor's degree. The robot in question is this long-armed thing, and its name is Flippy 2. Which, of course, raises the troubling question. What happened to Flippy 1? Was it murder? Probably just broke or something. Probably, it's probably not murder. Flippy 2's maker released a statement saying Flippy 2 alleviates the pain points that come with back-of-house roles at quick-service restaurants and allows for the redeployment of team members to focus on creating memorable moments for customers. I promise you, every time I have eaten at a White Castle, I would have paid money to forget it.
Coming up, Elle Fanning.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Brave the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Late Show. Folks, my first guest tonight is an actor you know from Maleficent and The Great. She now stars in The Girl from Plainville.
We've been talking, and your father and I think you should see the doctor again.
Why?
It's just, it feels a little too similar to last time.
That's not true.
The sulking, the yelling.
I'm grieving, Mom.
Remember how much better you felt after? It could help. We could prescribe you some new meds.
I'm taking the pills. What else do you want me to do?
You could talk to me. You could talk to your dad.
I didn't get it.
Please welcome to The Late Show, Elle Fanning. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on.
So nice to meet you. I'm so excited. There's so many people here. I'm like double-decker situation.
I know. Has it been a while since you've been in front of a big crowd?
It has, really. Yeah, I haven't been to New York in like 3 years. My sister lived here for 7 years, almost 8. So, but I haven't been back in a long time.
It's a lovely place. You should visit more.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean New York.
Yeah.
In general. Like
New York.
Recently, you honored, I want to know about this photograph. Here you are, seeming to have a great time with an absolute giant, Francis Ford Coppola. He's receiving this Hollywood Walk of Fame star.
Yes.
You were there, you gave one of the speeches to honor him.
I did.
Is that nerve-wracking to speak in front of Francis Ford Coppola? The guy changed cinema.
Nerve-wracking is an understatement. Yeah, I was there, and his sister, Talia, also did, presented it to him as well. And it was, I mean, yeah, it's like, what do you say for the greatest of all time? Like, he is the godfather in cinema, you know? So yes, it was very nerve-wracking, but I am fortunate to kind of be very close with the family, and I do
love
him.
Have you been in one of his films?
I have, yes. I was in a film. I was in Sophia's film, his daughter's film, mm-hmm. called Somewhere, when I was 11, and then he asked me to be in one of his films called Twixt, and I got to stay with him in Napa Valley, and we filmed on his vineyard. And
that sounds lovely.
Very, very special. Yeah, it was very special.
The Girl from Plainville,
okay, yes.
is on Hulu. You mm-hmm. play Michelle Carter,
yes.
who was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in, was it 2017? Something
yes.
like that?
Yeah.
And then because she basically helped coerce her boyfriend
yeah.
into taking his own life.
Yes.
How do you prepare for a role like that? It's not exactly, you can't do a ride-along for that.
No.
What is it? Hey, did you meet her?
No, I did not meet her, but I think that this case was a very ripped from the headlines case.
Incredibly dark story.
Incredibly dark, and ended in, the most tragic way that it could. So I think, coming into it, I wanted to, I had to make sure that everyone involved was really like telling the story in a sensitive way, because I think it could be very easy to exploit or sensationalize a story like this. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that the media kind of, they really painted a very one-dimensional way of this story. It was, Michelle was kind of this black widow manipulator, and Conrad was her victim, and he very much was a victim in the situation. But also, he was painted very one-dimensionally. We didn't get to know about the young man that he was. And so we wanted to really, hopefully, with this show, kind of shine a light on, mental health and how technology is affecting young people these days. I mean, I you
supposedly know, connecting people, but it actually can make people feel hopeless and alone.
Completely, yeah, and that kind of false intimacy. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm an actor, so I live in like fantasy all the time. But our show really plays with that blurred reality between, or that kind of blurred in between of like reality and fantasy. And it's so easy to get lost in the fantasy when it's all over text. Their relationship, they only met a handful of times, like four times. So, everything was over the text.
So here you are. This is a, have you played a real person before?
Not like this, not who's someone who's alive
still.
This
is you on this side. I had to ask, actually, at first.
Oh,
this is you.
That's good.
And this is Michelle on this side.
Oh.
What was it like to go through that transformation, and why do you think it's important to sort of capture that look?
That was really specific. I mean, I think a lot of people were aware of those paparazzi photos of her coming in and out of court,
mm-hmm.
and I had seen those, and she has such a specific, you know, the eyebrows and the hair, and my Aaron and Jules were the hair and makeup team that helped transform me, which was, yeah, it was like two and a half hours every day, and that was just a small portion. That look, she kind of changes her look throughout it because it spans 7 years, so... It was eerie to look at yourself in the mirror, you know, and Mirren was our costume designer, and she actually back searched the internet to find the exact courtroom clothes that she wore. So it was like from like Chico's and Ann Taylor, and like everything was literally the same clothes that she had worn.
We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I will ask Elle if there's a real person she'd really like to play.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Everybody, we're here with Elle Fanning. Is there a real world person that you'd like to play that you haven't?
I've always thought Grace Kelly, but that's like my dream. That would be cool.
That would be an amazing story.
Yeah, it would. Yeah,
I don't know if anyone's ever played Grace Kelly.
I think Nicole Kidman did.
Okay.
Yes, in something. And she's someone that I've worked with too. And
playing
I've
Nicole Kidman would be fun too.
Very fun. That would be great. I think she would like it. I'd have to get her approval. That's a good one.
Who do you think could play you? Maybe Dakota?
Yeah, I know. You know, people have asked me this. Yeah, Dakota? That'd be good.
Be
that
stretch.
Probably makes sense. Yeah.
Makes sense. People have asked you who would play you?
They have. Someone has asked me that before. It's a really interesting question. Who would play you?
Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure Kyle MacLachlan with
you
a wig.
That was really quick.
With a wig,
I
thought about it a lot.
It sounds like it's in the works.
I thought about it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You also star in The Great,
yes,
as Catherine
on Hulu
the Great,
too.
Which is
yeah.
such a fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Really funny and dark in its own way.
Yes, totally.
How do you feel about switching between drama and especially something this serious and this dark and something like the broad comedy of The Great?
No, it's such a difference. Well, I only had 2 weeks in between both projects, so I went from the second season of The Great and then had to go and film The Girl from Plainville, which was really, like, was a shock to the system. I like to shock my system in that way, but I'd never done comedy before The Great. So the second season, you get in the groove of it, but, you know, I had to learn to, like, embarrass myself, like, feel... The people around me, I feel very safe on that show. I love them, Nicholas Holt. But
so you had to learn. Do you have any ways that you get used to embarrassing yourself? Because I know some people like will do things specifically to embarrass themselves to get over that feeling of not want. Because we human beings normally don't want to be embarrassed.
Of course not. I know. I think I'm a very like I have like an animated face. Like I like make a lot of faces and stuff. So I had to learn like okay, just let that out. Like. Just don't be, you can't be, when you're working, like, you can't be vain or, like, thinking about how you look, you know, when you're playing a character. Like, you can't do that. So it's like, just go for it, whatever. So that was something that, yeah, I don't know, I do with Catherine. Makes sense?
Yeah. Makes sense?
Makes sense?
Yes. Well, it was so lovely to meet you.
Nice
Thank
to
you
meet
for being
you.
Here.
Thank you.
The Girl from Plainville is streaming now on Hulu. It's Elle Fanning, everybody.
Up next, Ben Schwartz.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Jamboree. My next guest is an Emmy Award-winning actor and comedian you know from Parks and Recreation, House of Lies, and his improv special, Middle Ditch and Schwartz. He now stars in Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Please welcome to The Late Show, Ben Schwartz.
Bit and I was gonna say a standing ovation, but they really did it. I was gonna do a bit and then you could cut to the crowd and everybody's like, but they were, you guys are very, very kind.
Well, people like their Ben Schwartz. They are very, yes. Now here's the thing. This is the first time that I've interviewed you. You've been on the first time you've been on the show.
And you're crushing it so far.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, hey, listen, right now we're pitching a perfect game. This is the last inning.
One of us is gonna mess up. I'm not gonna tell you who. We pre-planned this. There's gonna be one fumble in this interview.
But I heard today that this is our first interview, this is not your first time in the Ed Sullivan Theater.
No.
Can you explain that photograph right there?
Don't know why you're laughing. I don't understand why people are laughing.
Whose desk is that?
This is David Letterman. I was a page at The Late Show with David Letterman. Are there pages here somewhere in the audience or no? Yeah! Hey!
Pages.
Do not cut to them. Do not cut to them. They didn't deserve it. Do not cut away. No! No! That's so rude.
Yeah,
a year and a half, and they never cut to me when I was a page.
So how did you get? I want
to
go with this
it's
photo.
Wonderful to meet you guys.
Are you? How old are you in this photo? And did you get this page job as a present for your bar mitzvah? What is?
Yes.
Did you get?
Actually my bar mitzvah. The theme was The Late Show with David Letterman.
How did you get a job as a page here?
I actually came down with my friend Nick, and we're like young, right after college. So we're like, where do you get jobs? So we go MTV. And we went to MTV with a bag full of resumes, did not get a job immediately. We were walking up Broadway, and one of the pages saw us.
Because the offices are right down there in the Times Square,
the Viacom building. That's exactly right, yeah. We're walking up, and one of the pages goes, do you want to be in the attendance for Late Show David Letterman?
Like an audience member.
That's exactly right. Like you, like everybody here. Like everybody here. And I said, I would love to do what you do. And they go, well, you would need a resume. And I went into my backpack and I gave them 20 resumes. And then I interviewed and then I got to be a page. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
You have such kind eyes.
I'm sorry, I have kind eyes?
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
Let's see if we can fix that.
Oh, yeah.
So. Let's talk about Sonic the Hedgehog here for a second.
That's how you're gonna be not kind?
Yes, I'm gonna segue with absolutely no regard for the last thing you were talking about.
Fantastic.
Why you're a Sonic.
I am. Okay. I play Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is there something about you? Why do you think you were cast as Sonic the Hedgehog? Are you something hedgehoggian about you?
Oh. That's a great question. I think I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of quills that come out of my body. No, I have a lot of energy. That's very kind to clap for that. Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Yes.
I have a lot of energy. I like the idea of Sonic being like a kid, so I kind of brought that heart and energy and comedy into it. That's kind of like my version of Sonic. Do you have a version of Sonic if you were going to do
it? I am not familiar with the story.
Oh, okay. You don't know who Sonic the Hedgehog
is? He's a hedgehog.
Yeah, of course. You nailed
and
it.
He's very fast.
So I'm going to give you a line.
And he's very fast.
This is great. I can't wait for this. So I'm going to be Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's in the movie. He plays Dr. Robotnik.
He was in the first one, too.
And you've, of course, seen the first one.
Of course.
Of course.
I've seen the play.
Oh, the play is amazing. And by the way, the play is unbelievable.
Yeah,
and it's
amazing.
Based off the podcast, which is already a hit.
Right. Very dark.
Very dark.
But you found the lightness.
This. We found the lightness in it. Yes. Do you mind if you give a sonic?
I would love to.
I know. Listen, we're both improvisers. I know you're coming from Chicago.
Let me get my animal spine.
Okay, tell me when you're ready.
Got it.
Ready? Wow. Okay, I'm going to play Dr. Robotnik, and I know you know a lot of the catchphrases, so say the most famous sonic catchphrase.
You got it.
There's clearly one.
Sure.
Steven, you're my guy. Here we go.
Here we go.
No fumbles yet. Batting 1,000.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Yep.
Sonic, what are you doing here?
So you don't like cheese now?
Wow! Wow!
One of the catchphrases.
So you have seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So you don't like cheese now?
Right. We actually have a clip here. I'm not sure what.
Are you doing that line?
We've already done it again.
Show it in replay.
So, slow-mo for the commercial break.
That'd be great.
Now, what's happening here, and don't forget to say the words Idris Elba.
Okay, so what's happening here is Idris Elba's very sexy, and we're something about cheese now? What? I assume that this clip is
Who
gonna...
does he play? Who does he play in this?
You know what? We can say it at the same time.
Ready?
1, 2, 3, Knuckles. You did know?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, it wasn't written down. That was great.
Not everything I say is written down.
This is amazing.
I know this must be shattering your illusions, but not every word I say is written down.
There's one more famous character in this. There's one more famous. Yeah, I'm really impressed, Steven.
Really?
Yeah, for real.
Thanks.
Because I know if I come in here with like Lord of the Rings, I know that there's nobody unmatched for Lord of the Rings. And I know that if I come in here with, like, Star Wars... If I come in here with Star Wars...
Yes.
You're gonna win, right? But Sonic...
You might win, because you're friends with J.J. Abrams.
We're both friends with J.J. Abrams,
yep.
Okay? And the third character... You know what's so funny? And this is embarrassing, because I'm such a fan of Late Night. I collect the mugs anytime I'm on a show, and you've broken it for the rest of time. Come on, remember this bit? Great.
You can have WCCO Television. It's a CBS affiliate. You can have that one.
Finally. Finally. Oh.
I wish we had time for the clip.
Paramount's gonna kill me.
What? No, they can't kill you. You're Sonic.
And what's the, gotta get cheeses all around the corner.
What?
But that was the clip, and you guys saw it, and it was great. Idris Elba's in there.
As
Knuckles, and Colleen plays the other major character, and you know it. If you hit this, I will, no joke. I can't even tell you, Steven, you're so busy, there's no way you can know this. There's no way you can, and it's not on the prompter. And this is a big swing. We've had a great time here tonight.
We have.
We've had a great time. We've had a great time here tonight. We've had an absolute great time here tonight.
Yeah?
And there's only one way. There's one more character, Sonic the Hedgehog. I play Sonic. Knuckles is played by Idris. Colleen plays a fox. And then if you get this, I can't even tell you how excited I will be. That fox's name is
Tails.
Oh my God!
Sonic the Hedgehog 2 opens in theaters on Friday, April 8th. It's Ben Schwartz, everybody. He's a page.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube. Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.